If you would this morning, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. Numbers, chapter 16. Hallelujah. Numbers, chapter 16. Yeah. Well, you know, with all of the things that are going on in our world today, and one of them being where everyone's focus and attention is being drawn to by the media, every outlet that you can imagine, from memes to hysteria to what we hope to be some facts of what's taking place. And we know, and we heard it known as the corona virus, the plague. And I just believe God has shown me some things in Scripture pertaining to it. And let me just say this, that prophetically speaking, if this does anything for us, it should just shouldn't alarm us, but it should open our eyes to how quickly things can unravel in society. And just some of the things that you may already know, the nation of Italy has 3/4 of their people locked down in their homes. China right now is has almost 750 million people locked down in their homes. The supply chains coming from China that feed our industry and our consumer industry out of Long Beach, California, have dropped almost to nil, from 12 to 15, 20 tankers a day to nothing. So if anything, this should just basically get our attention, not for what's going to happen next week or next month, but what I think is coming in the future, maybe 10 years, 20 years from now. Know this, that we are in a spiritual battle. Satan has one plan for the human race, to usher us into a place of dystopia. The Bible says that the thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't think for a moment that he enjoys watching the human race be blessed by God. He enjoys things like wars. He loves broken bodies and broken people on the battlefield. He loves to see that. He loves people being violated, hurt. He loves to see things like molestation and rape. He loves to see people starve to death. I mean, we have an enemy. He is an alien force that has been kicked out of heaven, that had a place of great prominence with God, and he rebelled and God rejected him. And now his plan, his desire is to wreak havoc on God's people because we look like God. We're created in his image. So, you know, we might look at, well, where does things come from and who started this virus and this and that? I can tell you right now, it is a global plan for total human dystopia and destruction that has been conceived in the mind of Satan, the Antichrist spirit, because he hates the human race. We know in Scripture things are going to get pretty ugly in the last days. How close are we? Your guess is as good as mine, but we do have some signs that we might want to pay attention to. Let me just say it that way. But as it pertains to the total toppling of the economy, the world economy, and those things, I don't think that we're quite there yet, but this is what I do believe prophetically. This is a test run. This is a test run. This is a total manifestation of what the world can come to when all nations lock down and martial law is put into effect. We become subjugated to the state. So, but can we do anything about it? Do we have any options? Are we just going to surrender to the plan of the enemy? As a nation, as a church, as a people, Do we just sit back and say, well, there's nothing we can do but hope that somebody comes up with a cure or some type of, you know, vaccine so we can hurry up and get back to normal, whatever normal is, so we can continue in some regards as a nation to, unfortunately, ignore God. So in the book of Numbers, God showed me something very specific. And let me begin to read from chapter 16 and verse 41. Well, I'll read it from up here. You can follow along in your Bibles or we can go right here. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And go to the next verse. Let me just preface this. This rebellion started with two people, Dothan and Korah. Dothan and Korah wanted to challenge, as the political class, who God put in charge. So Dothan and Korah said, wait a minute, are you who God has destined to lead these people? Are you're trying to raise up yourself as self-appointed political class so you can have power over the people? Wait a minute. God has assigned Moses. He has ordained Aaron. He has raised up the priesthood, the political class, to rule as he desires and he plans. But rebellion challenges the plan of God all the time throughout civilization. So Dothan and Korah got swallowed up in the earth. Now we've got a group of people that just saw what God did to the rebellion, and look what they're doing. Now they're murmuring and they're saying, wait a minute, now you have killed all of these people. And actually, God was doing his best to stop the rebellion. So the people didn't get it the first time. And now what are they doing? They're murmuring and complaining. And it says here, it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord, continue, appeared. What verse are we at? Okay, we are at 43. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their faces. So God has had enough. Turn to your neighbor and say, God had enough. You know, his wrath will be filled one day. There is a day when the wrath of God, the cup of his wrath, will be filled, and we will see and watch God settle up all the accounts. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. And Moses and Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. I've got a little video clip I want them to play, and I just think we need to make a stand and talk about a place called No Man's Land. You shall not pass. Watch this. You know, when I think of that and I look at that particular scene, you've got the dead on one side, you've got the living on the other side, and you got one man willing to go stand in the gap. You got one person willing to say, enough is enough. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59 and verse 16, stand in the gap, for Jesus stood in the gap. But the Bible declares that God was amazed that he found no man that would go and stand in the gap. to stop the plague, to put an end to Satan's aggression. You know, today, I think as a church, we need to enforce our authority over this nation. We need to enforce our spiritual authority over the boundaries of our nation. We need to rise up as a people and take the power that God has given us through the Holy Spirit, because I believe with all my heart that God's not done with America yet. I believe with all my heart that God is not about ready to allow America to be toppled by some satanic invasion, some demonic plague, some strategy of Satan. I don't think God's about ready to let this country be toppled again. You know, I think about, there was a man by the name of Abraham, and Abraham was a man that decided to stand in the gap for a place called Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah was a place of depravity and destitute. It was totally turned over to a reprobate culture. And Abraham had a family member there, you know, Lot, his nephew and family. And Lot had vexed his righteous soul, and he went into Sodom and Gomorrah. And God told Abraham, because Abraham was God's friend, and God wanted Abraham to know what he's getting ready to do. And do you know that we are the friend of God today? Like Abraham, God will let us know what he's about ready to do. I don't think God wants us to be caught off guard or be surprised by the unfolding of satanic strategies against his church, against the nation that we live in, and against his eternal plan for our lives. So the devil is a liar. So what am I saying? There's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to cower in fear. And let me just put this out there today. Let's stop putting our hope and our trust in man. Some people trust on the arm of the Lord. Some people trust on the flesh. But as for me and my house, we're going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. No weapons formed against me shall be able to prosper. I'm just bold enough, brave enough, and bad enough in the Holy Ghost to stand up and say, stop it. That's enough. You shall not pass. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. And not only just my house, but my city, my community, and my nation. You're not about ready to topple this country and spoil the plans and the dreams of God's people that he's put here for this season, this dispensation, this hour, and this day. God's not done yet. As long as we're still here, the Bible says that we're to occupy as ambassadors for Christ. We're enforcing the kingdom of God. So Satan, you're just going to have to stop in your tracks and get ready to be pushed back. Somebody has to be a standard bearer. Somebody has to be willing to stand up and say, stop it. That's enough. I don't know how many churches even want to talk about coronavirus this morning because they're afraid their people will get fearful. I'm afraid that if we don't talk about it, our people are going to bury their head in the sands, be caught off guard, and not know what day that we're living in, and whistling past the graveyard. But if we stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost, we got authority to stand up and push back on the enemy. This thing is of the devil. Come on, somebody say, push it back. The enemy is, and his propaganda is doing nothing but stirring panic and fear, because he wants to see this nation crumble. He wants to steal your job. He wants to steal your employment. He wants to steal your money. He wants to steal your food. He wants to starve your children. He wants to topple your dreams and take away your future. But I just think we ought to stand up and say, you shall not pass. Enough is enough. The Bible says that he had to find somebody that would stand between the living and the dead. Abraham tried to get there. He tried to say, wait a minute, God's getting ready to rain his wrath down upon the Sodomites. And Abraham stood in the gap and said, hey, if I can find a handful, can we stop it? Can we hold the wrath back? Can we stay the plague? Can we stop the total destruction? And God's like, yeah, find me one. I'm willing. But your own nephew has vexed his righteous soul because he's adopted the culture, ready to sacrifice his own daughters to demon spirits and sodomites. I'm ready if I can find somebody. I just wish I could find a man, a woman, a child of God that would be willing to stand in the gap. Just like we saw in Lord of the Rings, you had a whole lot of people on one side of the bridge. You had Satan and death on the other side of the bridge. You had one man that was willing to go risk it all, stand out on the bridge, face the adversary, not cower in fear, but be willing to stand up because he knew who he is, and we know who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was willing to stand in the gap. God just couldn't, he ran out of arguments. He just couldn't find somebody that would say, there's somebody there worth saving. But can I say this? There's a whole lot of people worth saving. The number's not been filled up yet. The Bible says this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to every creature, and then the end shall come. Every person is going to hear. When that last person gives their and yields their life to Jesus Christ, it will go out like a resounding final bell. End of day. It is finished. Just like on your job, when the buzzer rings, that's it. Time's up. We'll know when that last soul hears the gospel, when that last human being that God gave us life for comes into the kingdom. We're going to hear a resounding end of day bell. The Bible says that it sounds like the last trump. The last trump of God shall sound. You'll know it. Time is up for Satan and his enemy. But until then, we got to occupy. We got to stand up and say something. We got to stand up and do something. We can't keep whistling past the graveyard. Somebody's got to be willing to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. You know, when we were here several years ago, and they brought this new club right here in Detroit, Ohio, it was amazing to me that there were just very few people willing to stand in the gap and say, listen, this shall not pass. You're not passing here. You're not coming here. You're not welcome here. This depravity, this addiction, this bondage, this lie of the enemy, this entrapment of our children and our daughters, it shall not pass. Somebody's got to be bold enough and brave enough to step out in the midst of scrutiny and criticism and say, this is just not acceptable. Coronavirus and all the propaganda of the liberal media is just not acceptable. The attempt of toppling God's chosen government is just not acceptable from any spirits of Antichrist that want to try to impose their will upon the people instead of letting God work out his process through this nation, the most benevolent nation that has ever been, the most prosperous nation that has ever been, fed more hungry bellies than any other nation in human history, sent more missionaries than any nation in human history, built more churches than any nation in human history, helped more societies, more broken down, stopped the aggression of communism, Nazism, fascism, Satanism. Come on, somebody. I don't know. I'm just not ready to give it up yet. I'm not just ready to say, well, they're doing it to them, but they're not doing it to me, so I'm okay. They're going to deplatform these voices of freedom, but they're not going to deplatform me. It happened to them, but it happened to their kids, but it didn't happen to me. So it just doesn't really affect me. It'll affect you when you realize there's no one else to stand in your defense because everyone that believed the way you believe is gone and you're the only one left. They will come for you too. Come on, where's my fighters at? Where's the church at? This is a spiritual battle. We've got to recognize that this thing has come from Satan to kill, steal, and destroy. We got to let him know, you shall not pass. Why? Because there's somebody willing to stand between the living and the dead. I'm thinking of another man of God. His name was David. How many of you remember a man by the name of David? He was a great, great king, a great warring king. David had a calling of God on his life, and there was a war taking place between the Philistines and the armies of God, and there was a gap in between, and Satan had come out to challenge the whole army of God's people. And that's what I feel like sometimes happened. Satan comes out and stands in the valley of Elah and says, come on, send me your best, church. What do you got? You look like a bunch of cowards to me. You look like you're fearful to me. You look like the only thing you really care about is making sure that you're four and no more taken care of, and not understanding that they're circling and coming back around for you too. Somebody's got to stand up. We got to stand with one another. We got to stand in the gap for one another. We got to believe for one another. We can't give up on our brothers and sisters. We can't give up on those that are hurting, lost, and dying. David said it this way as he stood and watched Satan try to take out, standing in the valley of decision of the dead Philistines, the uncircumcised, the rejected of God, and the armies of Israel, God's chosen people. Satan come out to say, hey, we're coming. Send me your best challenger. No one was willing to go, but David had this to say to Saul, the great man, the anointed king. He said to him, he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to stand in the gap? Is there not a reason to put something on the line, to be willing to sacrifice everything for what you believe? Is there not a hill somewhere that you're willing to stand on and die for? Is there not something within you that causes you to rise up and challenge the status quo and push back on the aggression of the enemy? And I'm not just talking about this nation. I see it in our families. You know, every time I do a funeral, and I had the honor to do a funeral this past week, Friday afternoon, did a funeral, and I stood literally between the living and the dead. When you stand between the living and the dead as a preacher, as a minister, as a Christian, you have a decision to make. You have to ask yourself a question. What are you going to say to the living when you're standing and your back is turned towards the dead? They're looking at you standing between the living and they're looking at the dead. This is coming to all of you. What shall we say? How shall we approach this? Shall we try to make everybody feel good about their position in life? Should we try to help everybody just rationalize and internalize their emotions and their feelings? And this too shall pass. Tomorrow the sun's going to rise and everything's going to be all right. While you're living in your sin, while you're living in your fornication, while you're addicted, while you're bound, while you're living under a curse, while you're serving Satan 24/7, you got somebody standing in between the living and the dead. What do you say? How do you approach it? What verbiage should you use? Do you stand up and do you try to use yourself as a roadblock? Do you put your foot down and drive your staff in the ground as a shepherd and say, thou shall not pass? Do you look from the living to the dead and do you just reveal unto them a hopeful plight that in the end it's okay for everybody? Or do you stand up? Do you tell the truth? Listen, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you don't turn your life around, if you don't stop rejecting God, if you don't stop making yourself the Lord of your own life, you will not escape this moment in time. What's going to happen to you after you depart your body? Will somebody stand between the living and the dead? Stand in the gap and tell the truth and let the devil know thou shall not pass. When I gave my life to Christ and 1985, I was amongst the living dead. The culture that I was raised in, the family that I was raised in, the community that I was raised in, was a culture of nothing but death, bondage, destruction, distortion, and lies. Satan had truly infiltrated our generations with alcoholism and divorce and depravity. Distorted life in its purpose and original intent. Why are we here? Where did we come from and where are we going to go? I was living among the dead. I'm wondering, when God gave me revelation and understanding and pull me out of the walking dead. As a Christian and as a believer, you've got a choice to make. Will you stand up and say, thank you, God, that you saved me and I'm no longer like one of them? Thank you, God, that you chose me and you got me out of that trap. Thank you, Lord, that you washed me of my sins. Sorry about your luck. Glad I made it. I have a feeling in a lot of places in the body of Christ today, that is our position. Glad I'm saved. Sorry about your luck. Glad I made it. You're on your own. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. As the religious man kneeling at the altar, thank thee, oh Lord, I'm not like one of them anymore. It's so easy to cross over from death to life and live life as though there's nothing back there worth saving. As though there's nothing back there worth standing in the gap for. You know why it's so difficult when God brings you out of death and translates you into life? Why it's so easy just to go on about your life and live in a place of total denial of where you were, what you came out of, and they're on their own. Because when you stand up on the behalf of those that are still dead, it's going to cost you something. There are sacrifices that will be made. It's going to cost you something to stand up and reject the idea that God doesn't have a plan, not just for you, but God has a plan for them as well. When you've lived your life throughout the generations underneath a generational curse, if God pulls you out of that death and brings you into life, you are now the standard bearer. You're the one that has to return around and say, all right, I've had enough of the generational curse. It's not coming to my family. It's not coming to my marriage. It's not coming to my children. It's not coming to my city. It's not coming to my nation. I'm willing to stand up and make a decree and declare things as the Lord would declare them. Stop it. That's enough. You shall not pass. Yeah, you got my granddaddy. You got my great dad, granddaddy. You even got my father. But when God pulled me out, I was willing and bold enough and brave enough to turn around and say, enough is enough. You're not going to get my kids. If it costs me my life, my fortunes, my family, my friends, I don't care. You shall not pass. I'm not going to perpetuate some satanic curse from generations gone by. I'm going to break that thing by the power of the Holy Ghost, not just for me, but also for my generations to come. That's why we're here. That's why we pray in tongues, all you tongue haters. That's why we stand and believe. That's why we press into the power of the Holy Ghost. This is more than some silly religious exercise. I'm not preaching propaganda to become famous or gather a crowd. We're here to preach the truth, man. We're standing between death and life. We're standing between death and life, heaven and hell, blessing and cursing. We're standing in the gap. But God said, I was amazed that I couldn't find anyone to go to the gap. What does it take to go to the gap? What does it take to walk out on the bridge and look at death right in the eye and say enough is enough? What does it take to walk out on the bridge and say, you're not taking one more of my family members down with crack cocaine, methamphetamines, and heroin addiction. You're not going to take one more of our communities through opioid addiction. You're not going to tear down our businesses through your corruption and lies. You're not going to topple a free people filled with free speech with your lying propaganda and socialist agenda, totalitarianism lies. Somebody needs to stand up, push back. Deplatform those devils. Changing the minds of a whole generation infiltrated by communism from all over the East into our society, into our real estate, into our economy, into our treasuries, into our universities, and into the minds of our next generation that are all too willing to stand up and believe a lie, not knowing that their children will be damned because of it. Strategic plan of satanic infiltration into a people, a nation. He's already crept into the church. The church don't even want to talk about the truth anymore because they're afraid somebody won't come back. I don't really care. I'm not here for favors. I can pay my own bills. But if we don't stand up and preach the truth, we're no better than the ones that are propagating lies. And just because, if you don't preach the full gospel, let me tell you something. If you don't preach the full gospel, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because you want everybody to feel good about their position, and you want to help people live in an offense-free community and society, you are doing God's people a total disservice. You're not helping us by putting our heads in the sand and denying the facts of where we're at as a country and nation. This is a precursor, people. Let me just tell you something. This is a warning sign to show you how easily this whole thing could be knocked over. And I'm telling you, the Bible says there is an hour and a day when the tipping point will be past the point of no return. Once it goes past the tipping point, you take a automobile. I haven't lifted one up in a long time. But if I was to lift up an automobile and my goal was to tip it over, it takes a lot of energy and strength and a lot of stamina and endurance to lift against the forces of gravity. It takes time. It takes everything you got. It takes strategy. But when you get it up to the tipping point, it doesn't take nearly the amount of time to go down as it did to bring you up. Look at the stock market. Stock market goes down a whole lot faster than it goes up. Marty knows that. The tipping point is right there. There will be a day when this plagues and viruses will not have anyone left standing in the gap. Especially if you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, it will be over. No point of return. And really, we are past the point of no return as it pertains to the unwinding of biblical prophecy. But I believe that just like Abraham stood in the gap, we can push the pause button. Just like God gave Hezekiah 13 extra years, we can garner some more time. Not so we can just go ahead and continue to fall in love with this life. David said, is there not a cause? What is our cause? God says, I'm not giving you more breath to ignore the gap. I'm giving you time to get in the gap. What's it take to get in the gap? What kind of person is willing to stand in the gap? What kind of person has enough compassion to go into the gap? The armies of Israel found one little boy, shepherd boy by the name of David. Something different about David. He wasn't afraid to go into the valley. He wasn't afraid to stand in the gap. because there was something on the inside of him that promoted a cause that was greater than death. His call, death could not compare to the cause that was burning on the inside of him. His cause was worth dying for. David looked at the armies of Israel cowering, no one willing to go defend and stand in the gap and stop death from marching on God's people. And David said, there is a cause. He knew who he was. What kind of a person does it take to stand in the gap? It's a person like Mary was talking about today. Somebody that knows who they are. Somebody that refuses to allow some dead church to steal our identity. Someone that refuses to allow society and our culture to dictate what we think, what we believe, what we stand for. Somebody that just doesn't get swept up with the current because of popular acceptance. Somebody that's willing to stand against the grain, to push back on the torrent, to say there is a cause. David, I know in whom I believed. I know I'm anointed by God. I know I've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. I know that God saved me for a reason. I know that God called me out of dry roots and out of a family of addiction for a reason. I know that God has given me a platform with my family, my coworkers, my classmates for a reason. I am a part of the living class and they are dead, but I'm willing to go jump in a gap to stop death in its tracks. I said, death, no more. For my family will have eternal life in Christ Jesus. If it's the last hill I stand on, my children will be saved. They will be woke. They will be informed. They will have an understanding. They will not be caught off guard. We know who we are. We know why we're here. Thank you, God, for the blessings. We're enjoying it. But I'm going to enjoy my blessing and prosperity living in the gap. God wants you to prosper. He wants you blessed. He wants you healed. He wants you provided for. He wants to give you vision, hope, and purpose. He wants you to succeed. He wants all that for you. But he just wants you to do it living in the gap. I'm going to prosper in the gap. I believe those that live in the gap prosper more than those that live outside of the gap. You want God's best for your life. Take his plan and purpose that he's given you. Take the business that he's given you. Take the job that he's given you and live in the gap with it. I'm going to give. I'm going to support. I'm going to preach. I'm going to share. I'm going to testify. I'm going to witness. I'm going to live in the gap. The only reason I have what I have is because him who died for me, he's the one that stood in the gap for me. I'm going to stand in the gap for them. I've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. The word for this year, was it not? The best of times and the worst of times. A year of clarity. God, show us. We want to know. I think, and I believe, we can stand in the gap like Moses and Aaron stood between the living and the dead, and the plague was stopped. Our cause and our plea is not to stand in the gap between the living and the dead so we can have a little more of our best life now. It should be because there's somebody that I love that's going to hell if I don't pray for them. There's somebody that's lost that they don't has never heard if I don't tell them. I'm not going to stand in the gap and push back on the plague so I can indulge life for myself and live selfishly. We can't live there. Those are the ones that never saw it coming because they didn't stand up for the ones that were being taken out. Don't let anyone deplatform your voice. It's the only thing you got. I don't care. Take me off social media. Take you off social media. You got somebody's ear. You can live your life loud in front of somebody. You can live your Christianity out loud in front of somebody. That's all God requires of us. Stand in the gap where we're at. I'm going to live my blessing standing in the gap. And if I got a lot, like Paul says, praise the Lord, I love a lot. But if I got little, like Paul says, praise the Lord, I'm content. In all things, I've learned to be content because my life is lived in the gap. Easy come, easy go, but the call stands the same. Calls for standing between the living and the dead. Somebody has to say, stop it. That's enough. Do you think that if you ignore it, it will go away? You know, the amazing thing about that nude bar was most of the Christians in the community at that time, I don't know now, but I've heard since we've gone and came back, we had one or two people stood up when they wanted to infiltrate our schools and change biology of men being men and boys being boys, girls being girls, and girls being women being women, and finding out who gets to use what restroom here in Troy, Ohio, in our public schools. Do you think that's going to garner the blessing of the Lord? Have you lost your minds? The most conservative county in the whole state of Ohio has yielded itself to some deception, delusion that biology has somehow changed because of mental illness that has been brought on by satanic opposition, total depravity to strip human beings of God's original intent. You got to be kidding me. How does that work? You got Senators Chuck Schumer, demon-possessed, called of the devil, disciple of demons, standing up and threatening conservative Supreme Court justices for their stand against the murder of babies. Are you kidding me? And he walks scot-free? No regard? Not even a censure? You can just say what you want about God's a nation's chosen elect and threaten their lives because they stand up for life? You got to be kidding me. This is the nation that we live in. But shh, don't say nothing. Don't rock the boat. Jim, you're crazy. Hush, shut up. You're going to offend somebody. You're going to really hack some people off if you just don't shut up. If you don't get away from this nude bar, you're going to really make us Christians look stupid. If you don't stop it, if you don't stand between the living and the dead and then try to pull people out of lifestyles of depravity, you're really going to make us look dumb. If you don't stop standing up for innocent life, the unborn, you're going to make some people really mad. You know what? They're liable to take your platform. They might even take the mic out of your hand. They might throw you to the dogs. They might stone you to death, Stephen. Shut up. Pastor Rod wrote a book a decade and a half ago. It's so much more relevant today. Silent no more. We got to stand up and be heard. We got to push back. We got to get back in the gap. Stand up for what we know to be right and true. Why? This ain't no joke. This isn't a game. We are fighting for souls. We're fighting for the preservation, the freedom of speech, the right to gather, the freedom of press, the right to assemble, the right to bear arms, the right to push back on tyrants. Evil is not gone from this planet. It is working its plan, and it's lifting the car, and it's pushing towards the tipping point. Where are we at? What are we standing for? What do we believe in? what's our cause? You know, there was, I think about it, what type of woman, what type of man does it take to stand in the gap? Let me tell you what's going to happen to you if you want to stand in the gap in the last days. They're going to dig up every ounce of dirt they can find on you. They're going to find quotes that you said, dirty pictures that you're involved in. They're going to find out the drugs that you did. They're going to find out the places that you hung out. They're going to drudge up every evil, nasty thing they can about you to discredit your voice. Because if you ever engaged of any type of sin, depravity, and death, you're not qualified. Your voice is no longer relevant. So you're going to be scrutinized. You're going to be criticized. You're going to be shamed. They're going to try to push you in a corner. Shh. You know why half of the Republicans never stand up for conservative rights and the values of biblical principles? Because they've been compromised. Somebody got some pictures of them somewhere doing something that they don't want you to know about. They'd rather maintain power and yield to the plan of bondage and death than repent from their sins and say, well, that's right, that was me. I'm sorry, I'm a human being. God forgives me, God loves me, He washes me in His sin. Now I'm going to tell you the truth. You want to discredit my voice, you can discredit, but you ain't going to shut me up and you ain't going to shame me. Is that you? Did you say that? Did you do that? Let me discredit you. Let me try to silence your voice. If you want to stand in the gap in these last days, you better have some moxie about you. Whether you like Trump or not, you got to love his moxie. That's a man's man right there. I don't care if you like his politics or not. That man's got moxie. You would have crumbled under that. Get people living with their mother-in-law in their basements want to stand up and criticize a man like that. Shut up. Get out of your mom's basement first. Then you can talk. This man has pushed back on the aggression of murder in this nation and freedom of speech like no other president before. That's valuable to us. You've accepted a culture of death, depravity, because you want to serve the lust of your flesh. You think you're going to get to do it forever. Let me stand in between death and life for you and push back and try to help you. Open your eyes. See what time it is. It's almost midnight. And you're trying to save the planet. Stop wasting your time. This planet's going to burn. I didn't say it. God said it. You're trying to save a hoot owl. Kudos to your efforts. But the Bible says 1/3 of the ocean's life is going to die in the last days. How are you going to stop that? We should have a real cause. And it's not the currency of fish and hoot owls. It should be the currency of souls. Because there will be a global reset. He will restore all things. But if you think your human invention can stop biblical prophecy to preserve a corrupted country and a corrupted universe, you are sadly deceived. Entropy is in place, baby, and you can't stop it. There's only one mighty hand strong enough to reverse the curse. Now, don't stop recycling if you're recycling, dear Lord. Hear me in the spirit. There's just a bigger picture. I gotta quit. I better quit. They're gonna take my mic. What does it take to stand in the gap? What kind of woman? What kind of man does it take? What do they look like? They're people that know who they are. They're people that have been anointed by God. Yeah. They're people that have been anointed by God. They're people filled with faith. They're people filled with courage. They're fearless. They don't care what other people think. They know in whom they have believed. Their eyes have been opened. The truth has been illuminated. And they have already chosen what hill to die on. And speaking of hills to die on, 2,000 years ago, we found one such a man that was willing to stand in the gap. His name was Jesus. He was willing to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. He was willing to stand in the gap to pull the dead out of the grave and translate them into the kingdom of life. But it cost him something. He was willing to forget who he was, all that he had, and that he didn't have to do it. He was God. He is God. He was God. He already had a throne. He was willing to forget all that. He forgot about his reputation. He forgot that the whole universe sang together in harmony to bring him worship. He forgot there wasn't a demon power and a reset that he could not perform. He just forget that. I see something different. Oh, I know I could start all over again. It wouldn't cost me a whole lot. But I don't know. When I created man in my own image and in my own likeness, that is my best efforts to create someone like me and give them their own will, consciousness, and spirit. Wrap it in a body. That was my best effort. And it failed. It didn't work. They rebelled. I can't do any better than that. I can't get them any closer to being me than that. So if I end it now, there is no plan B. There is no more Adam and Eve. There's no Jim and Jennifer, Marty and Tammy, Wendland, Harry, Carson, Noe. There is no Sunday morning worship at Elevation Church. People that are trapped in corrupted bodies still wanting to worship me. There is none of that. What I do? Was it just an experiment? And it didn't work? Or did I believe in it enough even though it failed, I would give my own life for it. God said, there is a cause. I gave it my best effort and it failed. But I know how to fix it. It's not through replacement theology. It's through redemption and sacrifice. Because that plan cannot fail. Although all won't go with me, some will be willing. That plan cannot fail. And God said, I got eternity with them. You are as close to God's image as he could create without making you God yourself. And it failed. But God had a plan. He turned that tragedy into a triumph. But it cost him something. What did it cost him to create the earth and the world? A little bit of energy, but his power is endless. Not much. What did it cost him to speak the worlds into existence and fling the stars into their sockets? Not much. Few words. It's God. What did it cost him to speak and create spirit beings, four-faced beasts, cherubs, seraphim, and cherubim? Words. His procreative power, God. What did it cost him to form man from the dust of the ground, breathing his nostrils the breath of life, and cause him to become a living soul? Creativity, passion, desire. What did it cost him for that fellowship of Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, walking through the garden of Adam and Eve? Not much. He loved it. What did it cost him to reverse the curse and the failure of humanity and the fall of man? Cost him everything. Everything. He stood in the gap and said, there is a cause. While we were yet sinners, Christ got in the gap. While we were cursing his name, he got in the gap. When we were perverting his original intent, he got in the gap. When we were building idols onto ourselves and towers to the skies, he got in the gap. When we were bowing and sacrificing our children to Moloch, he got in the gap. When we were sticking needles in our arm and smoking crack and robbing and raping and pillaging, he got in the gap. When we were creating instruments of human destruction, he got in the gap. Man, what's it going to take? Love. I'm closing. For God so loved the world that he got in the gap. He found a hill to die on and he made a stand. He said, you're worth it. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, say, you are worth it. Today I want to pray, and we're going to close. I want us to stand in the gap for this country. I want us to add our prayers with the prayers of Christians all around the world that know what time it is. And let's push back on this satanic alien invasion, this virus, that nothing good will come out of. And I believe that our prayers matter. And I believe, like Abraham, if we can find but five righteous, God will stop it. There's a cause. So, Father, today, we just love you and thank you that you let us know what time it is. And we're not fearful, we're faith-filled. We're full of courage and perseverance. We love you. And today, as a church, we stand in the gap. And we push back on this virus, this airborne disease. We speak to the prince of the air, and we tell you now, your power is broken over this country, over this continent, and around the world. We speak to that virus now. We go to the roots of its inception. We pluck it up, we root it out, and we tear it down. We stand in the gap for this nation, its people. We stand in the gap between life and death, and we ask God now with our prayer and sacrifice, our passion, our desire, our willingness to surrender, that you stay the plague. Give us more time. And may it wake us up like no other assault on our humanity, greater than any other assault. May we become more aware of the hour that we're living in. We stand in the gap for our family. We stand in the gap for our children. We stand up and we say, enough is enough. You're not crossing this line. You shall not pass. We push back today on those family generational curses. You shall not pass. If you bring any fear out of this, Lord God, may it grab and cause fear to come over the hearts of the backslider, the hearts of the unsaved, that they might repent and turn towards God. In the name of Jesus.